What mic you want him on? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. You ready to go to higher ground? Get ready. Unstrap your seat belts then. And let's get ready to go up.
Take a commercial break real quick. It's so great to be back here at Westmoreland. I'm glad to hear that there's more at Westmoreland, and I'm believing that God is going to do more. This past summer, we got the opportunity to travel to Guatemala, Central America. Have you ever heard of Guatemala, Central America? A beautiful country. If you ever get a chance to go on a missions trip or just to travel, it's a great place to go. And I grew up going to Guatemala, and my grandparents were the IPHC missionaries there for a few years. And I had the opportunity to be in some powerful services, because let me tell you something that those folks down there do not do. They don't play around with church. They come in early, and they pull out their plastic chair, and they set it up themselves, and they put it up when church is over, whenever it finishes, hours later. They mop up their tile floors, and they don't leave till the place is spotless like they had never been there in the first place. Those are some awesome people. But one thing that I remember from those powerful services is the pastor getting into the microphone, and he'd say, "I must, I must, I must." And that in Spanish means there's more, there's more, there's more. And they may not be thinking about Westmoreland this morning, I hate to tell you that, but I'm thinking about there's more, there's more, there's more this morning. Somebody give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Worship with us as we sing.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Rivers of joy are now flooding my soul. I know my sin debt is paid. I'm forgiven of my sin and I've been born again. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have found. It's settled, I know that my name's written down. I'm saved, I'm free, I'm no longer a slave. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved.
Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have found. It's settled, I know that my name's written down. I'm saved, I'm free, I'm no longer a slave. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved. Praise God, what a wonderful peace I have found. It's settled, I know that my name's written down. I'm no longer a slave. Praise God, it's settled, I'm saved. Praise God, it's settled.
Praise God, it's settled,
I'm saved.
Let's sing today.
I never shall
forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away.
It made me happy, glad and free.
I'll sing and
shout for He's everything to me.
I wonder if you remember the day or the night that the Lord saved your soul and wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm grateful for that day. Long years ago, when out in sin, I had no hope, I didn't have that peace within. Got on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus and He gladly set me free. I never shall
forget the day
when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me happy,
glad and free.
Shout
for He's everything to me.
Come on, everybody, just give the Lord a great shout of praise today. Thank you for such a great salvation, Jesus. We love you today, Lord. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. At His dear feet, all you have to do is humbly bow. Confess to Him that you're a sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give and peace and joy within. I never shall
forget the day
when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy,
glad and free.
I'll sing and
shout for He's everything to me.
I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away.
It made me happy,
glad and free.
I sing and shout it for He's everything to me.
Sing and shout it for He's everything to me.
It made me happy, glad and free. I sing and shout for He's everything to me.
Come on.
I never shall forget the day
when all the
burdens of my soul were rolled away.
It made me happy, glad and free. I sing and shout for He's everything to me.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise today. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah! We worship You, Father God. You are holy, You are holy, You are holy, You are holy, God. Hallelujah, You're the beginning, You are the end, You have always been, and You will always be. Glory to God. You are never alone today, never alone, because the Master, who looked at the troubled seas and said, peace be still. Says, peace be still to His sons and daughters today. He's the way maker. He's the peacemaker. Oh, I love Him today. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Hallelujah. We're on a journey, folks. Yes, life happens and it's not always pretty. We do get hurt. But it doesn't change that God is still God. Sometimes our people don't get healed like we want them to be healed. But it doesn't change that He's the healer. Hallelujah. What a joy to be here today in the presence of Almighty God. That we don't have to leave like we came. If you want something different, if you need something different, the God that we serve, His presence is here. I know the enemy wanted me to stop in my tracks when my husband died in my arms almost 3 years ago in our house. I remember being in a fetal position in my bed and saying, God, I've searched you my whole life. What in the world? What in the world? 55 years old. And I remember being in that fetal position and I could hear Him say, my child, you're going to be consumed in something. You can be consumed in your pain or you can be consumed for my gain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know that I was on stage the next week with my children here. And I tell you, you need to be careful what you seek after. God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And I have found Him even greater. I have found His grace to be greater. I have found that truly His mercies are new every day. For the one that I trust is the anchor for my soul. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you today, I've come too far to look back. I've come too far to turn back now. I've come too far to not press toward the mark of the calling which is in Christ Jesus. It is a higher calling. It is a higher ground. Be faithful. Be faithful. God will show you something that you have never seen. He said, oh, taste and see that He is good. God bless you. God bless you. Worship Him today. Allow God to take the layers off of you so that He can introduce the core of what He's created you for. But you've got to be willing to be unraveled of your outer being and let God heal you from the inside out. He wants to heal you today. He wants to heal your family today. Those prayers you've been praying for decades, believe on the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Stand on His holy, infallible word. And don't budge. Don't move. Keep seeking. Go deeper. Do something different to have something different. In the name of Jesus, I've come too far, folks, to turn back now. Woo! Hallelujah. I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me.
the pleasures I used to know have all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. All my heartaches are over, for I left them at Calvary, where my new life began. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I know, but I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing, heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. Look around, there's no happiness. There's no reason for living. Life will give you a broken dream filled with heartache. Turn around, don't look back again. Face the new day ahead for you. Place your heartache in Jesus' hands. He will mend broken dreams. I've come too far to look back. Crossed rivers, desert places I know, but I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing, heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back.
Come on, church. But we're nearing the home shore.
The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing.
I've come too far to look back.
Too far to look back.
Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The God who knows our going out and our coming in. Thank you, Jesus, for seeing us right where we are today. For watching over us, for keeping us, for protecting us. Lord, I thank you that your plans for us are good. You told your people and through your prophet Jeremiah, and we believe that it applies to us today, that you know the plans you have for us. Plans to prosper and not to harm. Plans to give us a hope and a future, an expected end. We thank you for that today, Jesus. God, I thank you for this house. I thank you for Pastor Jerry and Sister Teresa. I thank you for Pastor Ricky and Sister Darnell. I thank you for all the leadership in this church. I thank you for every person who comes on a regular basis. And I thank you for every person who may be here for the first time today. I thank you for this house. I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that is in this room today. And God, I just pray that you would be pleased with everything that is said and done in this room this morning. We honor the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. We lift up that name. We magnify that name. And we declare that Jesus is Lord over every situation. Jesus is Lord over every circumstance. Jesus, your name is magnified over every sickness, over every family situation, over all the drama of life, over all the issues of life. The name of Jesus is magnified over everything. We declare it today in the name of Jesus. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Bless your name today. God, we thank you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody shout if you're glad to be in the Lord's house today. Hallelujah. Such an awesome opportunity to be back here with you. I think if I remember correctly, it's been about 2.5 years or so. And not too long ago. I know this is the first time my mother-in-law, Jennifer, has been with us. Aren't you glad to see her here today? Since the last time that we were here, in fact, it was only about a year ago that Rachel and I made the decision to follow what we believe the Lord was leading us to do. And we moved to Franklin Springs, Georgia. And we are now employed at Emmanuel College. How many of you have ever heard of Emmanuel College? Awesome. I wonder, do we have any alumni of Emmanuel College in the room today? Would you raise? Yeah. She is one. I don't know if we have anybody else. Well, I just want to tell you a little bit about Emmanuel for just a moment. It's such a wonderful place to be. God is doing great things there. Emmanuel is one of the two institutions within the International Pentecostal Holiness Church that are directly associated with the denomination. And we have the privilege of being a liberal arts college, which means that you can come to us and study any field. We are open with a school of education. We have a music department. We have the School of Christian Ministries for those who may be called to go into ministry as youth pastors, worship pastors, lead pastors, whatever you feel God is calling you to do. We have a wonderful faculty and staff who love to serve our students so well, and we just believe that the best is yet to come for Emmanuel College. Next year, we celebrate our centennial, our 100th year of serving God as an institution there for learning and training for people to come and grow in their walk with the Lord. We have three core values: faith, learning, and living. And those are the three things that drive us at Emmanuel College. And if you're in this room today and maybe you are thinking that you might go to college one day, and I know there are some people in here, I've already seen you. In fact, these two ladies who were dancing up here a while ago, y'all did an awesome job. And do you know that we have a team at Emmanuel where you could do that? And we also have a drama team, a dance team, and I have the privilege of directly working with the music and worship teams. I direct the Emmanuel Singers, the choir that travels. If you were at Harvest Train back in November, some of you were there. We had the chance to sing there. And we came through this way just a few weeks ago. And we'll be coming back this way again in the future. We hope to be able to do that. And we hope to see you there. I also get to work with the worship teams. And so whatever we do on Tuesday mornings in chapel or Wednesday night chapel or sometimes Thursday morning chapel, I'm able to work with the students who are leading worship in those services. And my wife Rachel is also employed at the college. She works in the Office of Alumni and Advancement. So you may be getting a phone call from her at some point. She works so well to help raise the funds for our ministries and our teams, the sports teams that we have at the school, and getting alumni connected back to the college. It's just a wonderful opportunity for us, and God has been so gracious to give us this season of our lives where even now we get to continue to travel, and we're together more now than we ever were before, and we like each other better now than we did before. Yeah. In fact, this morning, I'm going to tell this. Rachel said, Trey, I just don't know how we like each other so much, as much time as we spend together. I said, well, let's not start asking questions now. Yeah. Let's not start trying to figure this thing out now. It's too late. But, you know, we have been so blessed that God has given us such favor. I cannot even begin to tell you how grateful I am. I told Rachel yesterday, just reflecting on what God has done in our lives, and not just at Emmanuel, but that included so many ways that God has proven himself to us. Yes. It is unmerited favor. Amen. And I'm so glad that I can stand here before you and tell you, you know, I don't deserve a thing that God has done for me. And if we're all just going to be candid here today, neither do you deserve a thing that he's done for you. But it's the grace of God that's been extended toward us through Jesus Christ. That's what we stand in today. And so I want to ask you, as we turn our attention toward the Word of God, to turn with me in your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. I'm sure many of you have this one memorized, and I'll tell you that I sort of struggled with which text to begin with today, because I'm going to preach what would be considered probably more of a topical sermon this morning. Sometimes preachers may preach in one specific passage of Scripture. Today I'm going to preach on a topic. And that topic today, the title of the message that I'd like to give you today is, Help! I've fallen and I can't get up. I know you've seen those commercials before, haven't you? And I, you know, falling is a serious issue, but watching that commercial is kind of comical. Just the acting, you know, is not exactly Hollywood quality necessarily. Of course, I don't know what Hollywood quality is anymore. But if there is any quality left in Hollywood, God help us. But, you know, watching that commercial, you kind of think, is that real? You know, but it's an issue that people fall and they get hurt. And do you know that I was at a church fellowship hall not long ago? These two boys were running around the fellowship hall, and all of a sudden one of them fell down, and he got right back up and he said, Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. I thought, that boy's 7 years old. What does he know about falling and can't get back up again? You know? But it trickles down. And do you know that every generation, no matter how old or how young you are, we've all fallen. Everybody has the tendency to fall. Everybody has the propensity, the tendency to fall. And that's what I believe we need to hear from the Lord today. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, would you stand with me as I read this one verse, and then we'll pray together over this message today. The Bible says, for all, somebody say all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glory. Every single person in this room has fallen. But I have a good message to deliver for you today. That if you have fallen, and all of us have, Jesus is here to lift you up again. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to help me to preach this message. I'm not eloquent enough. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not experienced enough. I don't have what it takes. But Christ in me, the hope of glory, I pray that you would speak your message today, that you would speak your word, and that every ear that hears this message today would be anointed to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, and that we would be built up today, that we would be edified, and that God would be glorified in a powerful way, that we would leave this place with a greater knowledge, greater grace in who you are, Lord Jesus. We want to come to know you better. We want to follow you more deeply with greater commitment, with greater dedication, and with endurance, and with great faith. Lord, help us to follow boldly after you. Lord, anoint my lips to speak this message today. I thank you that I know this word is burning on the inside of me, and I just pray that it would come out in a way that the people might be edified and God would be pleased and glorified. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated together. Don't fall as you go down. Help! I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, it's no mystery that in the, I guess it was in the 1600s, about 1687, they say, there was a man by the name of Sir Isaac Newton. And Sir Isaac Newton was standing outside. He had actually gone back home, they say, and he was walking around the orchard there at his parents' home. And he said that he saw an apple fall from a tree. And he couldn't quite understand why it was that the apple would fall off the tree and just go straight to the ground. He said, I thought that maybe it would go sideways or upside down. Or why does the apple fall down to the ground? And so he began to do some research, and Sir Isaac Newton found out in his discovery that two objects are naturally attracted to one another. And the one of greater density is going to attract the one of the lesser density to itself. And so that's the reason why this little bitty apple on the tree, when it comes off of that tree, it's attracted to the earth, because the earth has greater density, greater volume, and greater, here's the operative word, greater mass. Mass. How many of you remember that from physics class? And oh, Lord, help me. I'm so glad I made it through that class. You know I didn't remember this from high school. I had to do some studying, Pastor Ricky, before I was able to get it. And y'all still pray that I'm telling the truth. You might want to look up on Wikipedia to make sure that everything I'm saying is right. And I think it's so amazing that Brother Isaac Newton, who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a great man of faith. In fact, they say he studied theology more than he did science. And we remember him so much for science, but he was a theologian. And he used his theology to help him in his discovery of science. So don't tell me that science and religion are not compatible. Sir Isaac Newton, a great man of faith, shows us the opposite. So when we look at this law that he began to call the law of gravity, we call it the law of gravity, this tendency for an object to fall down to the earth because the earth has greater mass, we see that represented also in the moon revolving around the earth, because the moon has lesser mass than the earth. So somehow the moon in God's creation, God created it just so that the moon would revolve around the earth every month. And then we also see that the earth and all the planets in the solar system revolve around the sun. That was a discovery of Sir Isaac Newton, that the planets did not revolve around the earth, which they thought at one time, but the earth actually and all the other planets revolve around the sun, because the sun is an object of greater mass. And whichever object between the two are going to be attracted to each other, but whichever object is of greater mass, that's the object that's going to attract the opposite object to itself. Are you still with me? Okay, I'm going somewhere, I promise. Just hang tight. This isn't science class, but I'm going to make the application here in just a few moments. You see, this law of gravity is the reason why humans and animals and all the man-made objects are subject to the law of gravity. They all come to the earth. If you throw something up in the air, they say, what goes up must come down. That's why some people don't like to fly. They say, Jesus told us, lo, I am with you always. They're afraid if they get on that Boeing 737 and get up in the air, that they may not come back down and stay alive. You know, they're worried about that, because gravity is a thing, and it can be very deadly if we are put in a bad position. But in simple terms, gravity is the law of nature that causes the earth to draw us as human beings and objects toward it. If I were to pick up a chair and hold it in the air and take my hand out from under it, the chair is going to fall. That's the law of gravity, that it's less dense than the earth itself, so it falls. It has less mass, so it falls to the earth. We are pulled toward the earth by a gravitational force. And even if we get in that airplane, or if we go up in a hot air balloon like Dorothy was supposed to do in The Wizard of Oz, and she never did make it, you know, that hot air balloon starts going away. Well, that balloon's eventually going to come back down.
Yeah.
And there is such an enormous pull on you and me as human beings toward the earth. And I believe that this application here, this pull toward the earth, is not only physical, but it's also a spiritual pull toward the earth. P-U-L-L, pull. We are pulled in the direction of the earth. We are pulled in the direction of the world. In each of our hearts, there is a gravitational pull toward the earth. And the earth, I believe, represents here sin, and it represents wickedness, and it represents evil, and it represents depravity. It represents fallen humanity. Everything that we are without the help of God, that is what we are pulled toward naturally. In a spiritual sense, in an emotional sense, in a physical sense, we are pulled toward the earth. We are pulled toward the world. In fact, you might hear it said like this: just as the earth sits on its axis and is sort of bent toward the sun, you and I are bent toward sin. That's all that we know how. You don't have to teach a little kid how to sin. You let them get around another kid in that sandbox playing with their toys one time. You don't have to teach a little kid how to sin. We are born that way. But we don't have to stay that way. And that's the good news that I have for you here today. We are, yes, I believe it was Lady Gaga who wrote a song called Born That Way. And however you're born, the purpose is for you to get born again so that you don't have to stay bent toward sin. But I'm afraid that you and I, yes, I grew up in church. I grew up in a Pentecostal holiness church, and I grew up around shouting saints, and I remember those silver-headed saints who prayed around me when I was saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. But do you know that even in the time since those wonderful days when I had my earliest experiences with God, I have found that sometimes we underestimate the gravity of our own sin. We underestimate the depth of our own human wickedness. The Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. Somebody said to me not too long ago, they said, what's wrong with being just a good human being? And I thought, there's no such thing as just a good human being. In all of our efforts to do good and to be good and to act good, we cannot measure up to what standard is really good. Jesus himself said, no one is good but the Father. Everything that is good, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Good is summed up when you take out one of those O's. It is God and God all by himself. You and I are not good enough on our own. We are bent toward sin. And I'm afraid that sometimes we don't stop long enough. When you've been in church and you've grown up in it and you've been around a bunch of Christians, I heard just the other day that most Christians, after 7 years of being a Christian, they stop associating themselves with unbelievers. Yeah, come on. We've got to quit that. Because how are they going to want what we have if they never see the joy that we have? I don't mean just going and sitting at a table by yourself at Cracker Barrel like we did last night. But I'm talking about getting around some people who don't believe in Jesus and letting them see that this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. They need to see that. But in all of our time spent in the church and going to church and being around Christians all the time, sometimes we forget where God brought us from. Sometimes we forget to look back and say, this is what I used to do. That's what the old man, the old woman was a part of. Sometimes we need to reflect on where it was from which God brought us out. There's not a single person in this room who has never sinned. There's not a single person in this room who has not come out of a life of wickedness and evil and depravity. No matter how good you thought you were before you came to Jesus, you weren't good enough for God without Jesus. None of us can be that good. All of us have fallen. Yet we tend to categorize sins. How many of you have heard of Dante's Inferno? If you've ever heard of the book Dante's Inferno, he wrote about nine layers or nine circles in hell and had them all categorized and which ones were worse than others. And do you know that that's not quite the case? There is no sin worse than another. Jesus said, if you've broken one law, you've broken the whole law. If you've sinned in one area, you've sinned in every area. If you told a little white lie or you told a big whopping black lie, it doesn't matter what it was. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen and we need help to get back up again. John wrote, if we say that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. I'm afraid that even in a crowd like this, there may be some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who are here who you may think that you're good enough on your own and you don't really need Jesus. There may be somebody who's watching on Facebook. There may be somebody who's watching on live stream. Somebody who's going to pull it up in the archives. I don't know. But if you're thinking to yourself that you're good enough, friend, let me tell you, I'm not good enough. None of us are good enough. You're not good enough. We are a fallen people. Let me tell you, it's no mystery that we would be fallen because even from the beginning of time, the first sin ever committed, what happened when it occurred? Satan, Lucifer in heaven. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28 and in Isaiah chapter 14 about how Lucifer was an exalted angel in heaven, a beautiful angel. But the moment that he began to think that he was better than God, that he could be his own God, that he was greater, that's what you and I do every time we sin. We choose to be our own gods. When Lucifer did that, what happened? He fell. He fell from heaven. And then you can look in the Old Testament right there in the first few chapters of Genesis. We read about how Adam and Eve were in the garden. And there was only one rule. Yeah. One rule. I taught high school for 4 years and I had at least 3. God had one rule. Don't touch that tree. And people like to say, well, if I had been in the garden, I wouldn't have done that. How come we're all cursed because of Adam and Eve? Do you know that you and I would have done the very same thing? Because we are bent toward sin. It's our natural tendency. It's what we do without the help of the Holy Spirit. We sin naturally. We can't help it. Even in our best efforts, we can't make it. Adam and Eve fell. And since that time, we've just continued to fall. We live and we are born and we die without Jesus in a fallen state. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Do you know today that we must come to terms with the gravity of our own sin, if we are to really understand the lengths to which Jesus went to save us from our sin. If we really weren't that bad of people to begin with, he never would have had to die. But we were broken. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I believe that every one of us here, no matter how long or short we've been serving God, we ought to continually be reminded of just how desperately we needed God in our miserable condition of sin. There is not a single saved person in this room or anywhere across the face of the earth today who was not, at least at some point in their lives, a lost, fallen person. Every 4-year-old who gives their heart to Jesus was still a fallen person. Every person has fallen. The innocence of a baby, still a fallen human being. We must come to terms with that reality. I think there is a great example given to us by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 as he tells us his credentials and how he sums up himself. He says to put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh is our natural ability. Put no confidence in your natural ability, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Well, go right ahead, Paul. He said, I think I will. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all my things. I consider them garbage. Isaiah said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Whatever good things you do apart from Jesus Christ inside of you, it is nothing. You can do nothing good on your own. We're fallen, and we can't get up. We need help. His name is Jesus. Yes. As good as Paul was before he met Christ, he was still fallen. He still needed help. He could not get up. And sometimes I believe you and I need to be reminded of what it was like when we were fallen. You and I need to look back and just imagine what would it be like if it had not been for Jesus. Israel used to say, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, our enemies would have swallowed us up. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would you be today? Where would I be today? There might be a tombstone in a cemetery somewhere. There might be a cross there on the side of the road. There might be a grieving parent somewhere. You don't know where you would be. And perhaps you would be lost in hell for eternity if it had not been for the goodness of Almighty God, who looked down on the earth and he said, they need my help. They can't do it without me. I'll send my only begotten Son. Look at what God gave up. God gave us his Son, and Jesus himself gave us his life because we are fallen, because we can't do this by ourselves. And the reason it matters to recognize that we are fallen is because it emphasizes our need to be lifted. You can't be lifted unless you're down. That's right. You've got nowhere to go. Yes. But it's when you're down, yes, that you can be brought back up again. And I'm thankful for these words from King David, who writes in Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. He says, he lifted me up, yes, out of the miry clay. Out of a horrible pit. He lifted me up. He brought me out of the miry clay, out of my fallen bent toward the earth, and he set my feet in a firm place. He placed my feet upon a rock. I'm so thankful today that the same can be said for you, and the same can be said for me, that he did not leave me where I was, but he came to me and he lifted me out of that place of destruction, out of that place of despair, out of that place of agony, out of that place of torment, out of that place of depression, that place of pain, that place of brokenness, that place of uncertainty of my future. God came to me and he lifted me up. And I'm glad to tell you today, he's still in the lifting business. He will come to where you are and he will lift you up from wherever you find yourself today. You're not too low for the hand of God to reach down and pick you up again. You may have heard that old song that says, when he reached down his hand for me. Yes, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or the Son. When he reached down his hand for me. I wonder if there's anybody in this house this morning who's grateful that he lifted you up from the horrible pit. He brought you out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. We need to remember what it was like to be in that pit. I'm not saying you have to live in shame. I'm not saying you have to live with regret. I'm not saying that you have to live with a guilty conscience. I'm telling you that you need to look back and say, this is what God has done for me. Look what the Lord has done. He brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's done a great thing for me. We need to be reminded of what it was that Christ did for us. I'm so thankful today for our great, mighty, and awesome God who is so good that when he looked down and he saw us in our fallen state, he didn't leave us there, but he made a way. I love these words from a hymn that say, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. I imagine God being like an architect. God who is love, capital L. He defines love. God drew the blueprint for salvation. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Aren't you thankful for that place called Calvary, the cross of Jesus Christ? We celebrated his resurrection last Sunday morning. I'm so thankful today for the cross of Calvary and the empty tomb that made a way where there seemed to be no way. When we couldn't get up to him, he came down to us. But he didn't leave us in our fallen state. He lifted us up, and he wants to lift you up today. He found Adam there in the garden as he searched and called out Adam's name. He came to Adam, and he clothed Adam and Eve in their nakedness, and he lifted them up even though they had fallen. He found David in that pit of despair. And David, even after he had committed such atrocious sins, David said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Purge me with hyssop. I will be made whiter than snow. Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made whiter than snow. I'm so thankful today that if he saw Adam and if he saw David, he also saw Saul. Saul on the road to Damascus before he became Paul the Apostle. Saul was on the road and Saul was knocked down off of his horse. And God saw him there and didn't leave him fallen. He picked him up and he made him into a new creation. And if God could see Adam, and if God could see Abraham, and if God could see Moses, and if God could see David, and if God could see Saul and turn him into Paul, and see Jacob and turn him into Israel, and see Simon and turn him into Peter, I'm thankful that he looks at you and he looks at me and he says, I won't leave you there. I'll come and I'll lift you up. And Lord, hallelujah. Plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. There's a higher place for you to go today. It's better than any high this world offers. They call it the Most High. He is the Most High. He's greater than anything else, and he will lift you from your fallen state. I'm reminded of that day when Jesus was called to the home of Jairus, whose daughter they believed to be dead. And Jesus comes into the home. He walks in and he says, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And what does he say to that daughter? He said this in Aramaic, Talitha kum. Little girl, get up. And Jesus lifted up that little girl. I'm thankful today for the story on another occasion when Jesus was teaching in a house. Some believe it might have been Jesus' own house, perhaps at that point in his life. And Jesus is teaching, and the crowd is so great, the men try to bring this paralytic man to him as he's teaching, and they can't get to him. So they open up a hole in the roof, and they begin to lower him down. What does Jesus say to the young man? He says, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Jesus lifts up the paralytic man. I'm so glad that Jesus is in the business of lifting the fallen. I heard a story not too long ago. Well, it wasn't, but about a month ago that this happened. I read in the news of a young lady, a young teenage girl from around the San Antonio, Texas area. This happened on March the 9th of this year. In San Antonio, Texas, a teenage girl was exploring some caves with her friends. And as they were exploring these caves, she got stuck. And it took about 10 hours for the rescuers to be able to remove her from where her body was lodged, and she could not get through. And when she came out of that cave, they took her to her mother, and she said, "Mama, I didn't want to die in that. I didn't want to die in that cave." And I'm so glad to tell you today, you don't have to die in this cave. You don't have to die in this pit. You don't have to die in that place. I'd love to introduce you to a young lady from Emmanuel College who just the other day Rachel and I were talking to. She grew up in church. She loved the Lord. She got away from God. She was doing things that you and I wouldn't really want to discuss. She had been drinking. She was on drugs. She had explored homosexuality. She was messed up in her mind. But she had an encounter with God not too long ago. And as we talked to her the other night, she said, "I have never felt such freedom in my life as I feel today. I'm grateful today that Jesus is lifting the fallen. I'm grateful today that Jesus saw me." There have been nights in my life where I felt like saying, "God, don't let me wake up in the morning. Just let me fall asleep and never wake up so people don't have to wonder and worry about. I don't want people to know that I'm really not this great Christian person. I'm really messed up on the inside. Yeah, I like to wear suits and ties, but that doesn't cover up the destruction that's going on the inside of me." And I have said, "God, please just don't bother with me anymore." But I'm grateful that day or night, rain or shine, every time I called on Jesus, he came down and he lifted me up again. And I don't know what it is that you're going through today. But you may be going through a pit of despair. You may be stuck in a cave. You may be in a place of bondage. You may be in a moment of weakness. And you need to be reminded today that Jesus is here and he is available and ready to lift you up again. I'm so glad that he's a lifter. In fact, the Bible says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord." The Bible says that thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head, the lifter of my countenance. Anytime I'm in a fallen place, all I have to do is call on the name of Jesus, and he will come and lift me up again. And I'm excited today. That's why I'm shouting like a Pentecostal up here, because I'm happy today, not angry. I'm not mad. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. If you hear me shout hallelujah, it's because I remember where he brought me from, and I'm thankful that I don't have to go back there anymore. I don't have to live that way anymore. I don't have to feel that way anymore. And whatever you're are facing today, whether it's in your marriage or in your family, and you've got so much drama you don't even have to turn on the television, whatever it is that you've got going on, I'm so glad today that Jesus is here to lift you up. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, came to me and lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Another songwriter said it like this: from sinking sand, he lifted me with a tender hand. He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. Jesus is a lifter in this house today. Brother Ricky, would you come? I want to ask you today, if you would, to just stand with me wherever you are. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. God, we praise you today. Could we just take a moment and worship the Lord? Father, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for bringing us out of the pit. Thank you for bringing us out of the cave. I thank you that there is hope in the name of Jesus. You don't leave us where we are, but you bring us out of that place. And all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 2 verse 21 says, it shall come to pass in the last days that as many as call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. All you have to do today is call on the name of Jesus and you can be saved. All you have to do today is call on the name of Jesus and you can be restored. All you have to do today is call on the name of Jesus. And whatever it is that you're facing today, whatever pain, whatever tension is going on in your home, I'm so thankful that Jesus was interested in restoring homes. And I believe he is even today. Jesus is interested in your lost loved ones. Jesus is interested in restoring peace to your household. Jesus is interested in uncovering all of those skeletons in the closet. He doesn't say you have to hide them. He says, get them out and let's deal with it. Let's clean it up. Jesus isn't trying to perfect you on the outside. He's trying to renew you on the inside. Renew, make you new again, better than the first time. Because the second time, he's inside of you. And I'm not just talking to unbelievers here. I want you to understand my message. That is part of it. I'm talking about Christian homes. I'm talking about Christian marriages. I'm talking about Christian businesses that are sinking. I'm talking about business owners and teachers and lawyers and doctors and factory workers or wherever you find yourself, mechanics and technicians and whatever it is that you do, God is interested in it. And you say, I'm stuck in this rut. I'm stuck in this miry clay. I'm stuck in this place. Jesus wants to lift you up today. So, Father, I pray for these people here right now in this moment. And I ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would seal the deal on what it is that you've been saying to them this morning. I pray that you would reach down into their hearts, into their spirits, into their souls, into that invisible quality, that invisible part of them that only you can see. And Father, would you minister grace and peace and hope and love and joy to each person? Would you speak in a way that only you can? I can't do it. I wish I could. I wish that I could bring people under conviction and get them saved. I wish that I could heal the sick on my own. I can't do it. I wish that I could restore and counsel all the broken marriages back together. I wish that I could talk to every son or daughter who doesn't believe in Jesus and they've seen enough goofy stuff that they just don't know if church is for them. God, I wish that I could do that, but I can't do it. You can. So Lord, I ask you to do it by your Holy Spirit right now in this moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this morning, as we come to a close, if you would just be willing to acknowledge that you're in a fallen place. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You've never trusted Jesus with your life. You've been trying to do it on your own. Maybe you've been trying to live by yourself and without God in your life. I don't know what your situation is. I don't need to know everything any more than what you would be willing to tell me. But I want you to know today that you don't have to stay there anymore. You don't have to keep living that life of confusion and of uncertainty and of no peace, always conflicted. God is speaking to you today. He's speaking to you. Your hands are clammy, your heart's beating out of your chest. I'm telling you, that's the Lord moving on the inside of you by His Holy Spirit. And He's saying it's time for you to respond. If you want to trust Jesus, place your faith in Jesus for your past and for your future. Would you just lift your hand wherever you are, all over this room today? Lift your hand all over this room today. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we place our faith and trust in your Son alone. If you're in a place today where you are sick, maybe you're sick of being in that fallen state. You have issues going on in your family that you don't want to tell anybody about. That's okay. You've got stuff going on at home or at work. You're tired of that job. You're ready to put in your 2 weeks' notice. Walk out. You're in a place of conflict constantly. You feel like you can't have any peace anymore. You don't even remember what it was like to be happy. I pray on your behalf, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I wonder if you would be willing today, if that's you and you say, I just need Jesus to come and lift me up out of this darkness that I've been in. Would you be willing to lift your hand wherever you are and just say, Trey, I need to be lifted today. I need to be lifted. Thank you. This is not for me. This is not to satisfy my request. This is you saying to God, here I am. God, come to where I am right now. God doesn't. He wants to meet you at your pew, at your chair, right here, right now. Don't be afraid. Just lift your hand. Just say, God, that's me. I need you to come and lift me up today. Father, would you do it in this room today? All over this room, would you just begin to open up your mouth and talk to the Lord? And tell God what it is that you need. And if you feel like you've got it all together today, then pray for somebody else for a moment. Just say, God, bless this church. God, bless this community. God, touch our pastor. Touch our leadership. Touch our children. Touch our students. God, would you just pour out your Spirit and lift us up from where we are today. Plant our feet on higher ground in Jesus' name. Lord, would you lift us today? Lift us to a higher plane. Take us to another level from glory to glory. Lord, would you move in this place today? Don't let a single soul leave the same way in which they came. Lord, I'm so glad that you didn't leave us alone. I'm so glad that you don't leave us alone. But you come to wherever we are. And you lift us up from our fallen place. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
I want to tell you, I'm so glad that one of these days, we're going to be standing, perhaps kneeling around the throne of God. And I wonder when we get to heaven, what our stories are going to be when we look at each other and say, what did he do for you? Where did he bring you from? And I've got chills all over my body right now. I'm just so glad that when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a testimony. And I'm going to say, this is what Jesus did for me. And you and I can just look at each other and we can say, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
Yes.
Can we do that one?
Yes.
I'm so... If you know it, sing it. Jesus lifted me. Sing it out. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Sing it again. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. Think about where it brought you from. Oh yes, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. And then we sing, Satan has...